Well, God's good, and I'm blessed to be here. I'd like to be on Loyalist Road in a place called FaithWorks. It doesn't get any better than that. You know, and I was reminded when we came in here this morning, the first time we came in here, the insulation was sticking out of the walls. There was no gyprock up. You know, so you know that the hand of the Lord is here, and I better stop right there and talk about Ed Dufresne, or the thing will be gone from me. Ed Dufresne, how many of you have never heard of Ed Dufresne? Never heard. How about this? How many of you have ever heard of Ed Dufresne? Could I see you? A couple of you have heard. Well, Ed Dufresne, if you were in one of his meetings, you would think that you were in Kenneth E. Hagin's meetings. He ministers the same way. But the thing that's, there's several things that are exciting about him coming to us. But he's probably got the strongest anointing on the earth right now for healing cancer. So cancers get healed in his meetings on a regular basis, and supernatural things. And so we had intended to bring him into our church over years and just never got to it. And then one of his board members, who just happens to be in Canada, was watching our TV program. And he said, Ed Dufresne is doing a cross Canada thing, and he'd like to do a midweek service in your church. And I said, well, we'll take him anytime we can get him. But then they called back later and said, look, he wants to come into your church on a Sunday morning. And pastor, you know, if you're going to have a guest speaker, Sunday morning is the best time because, you know, you get the smos, the Sunday morning only people come out to those meetings, right? Turn to somebody next to you and say, you're not a smo, are you? But then they called back again and said he wants to do Sunday night. And so we were jacked about that. Then they called up again and said he wants to stay and do a Monday night service because he said he feels that it's a divine appointment. And so I'm encouraging you, of course, you be in your home church on a Sunday morning, but if you can make your way over there on a Sunday night or a Monday night, and if you know somebody that's sick that really needs a touch from God, or if you know somebody that just needs to experience the supernatural. You know, we talk about the supernatural, but some people, how many of you know people just need to experience a move of the Spirit of God? So I encourage you to get out to those meetings, if at all possible. If not, you find some, hey, if you got to bring somebody in an ambulance. Like we've got two people in our church right now that are facing life-threatening situations where cancer is concerned. And we're just so happy. We're praying that, you know, and everybody has rubbed, we got the hair rubbed right off them from praying over them. You know, so we need, obviously, we need something more. You know, there's many keys to things. Like, may I see my car keys there? They're easy to find. There's a big bundle. Yeah, those are yours. I have to have mine. Come on. Okay. Who knows what's in the bottom of that purse? The funniest thing in the world is sitting in a coffee shop and watching a woman trying to find her cell phone. The thing is ringing and stuff is flying everywhere coming out of the purse. And by the time they get it out, it's oops. It just happens all the time. And lots of times the purse has a little slot right on the side marked cell phone. But that doesn't mean anything. It just gets thrown in there with the kitchen sink and the lipstick and the toenail paint remover and whatever else is in there. I don't know. You need a Band-Aid? Whatever you need is in there. No, that's not her big purse. She has a big purse that's so big that a cat crawled in and went to sleep. I'm not lying. I'm surprised, you know, they probably had to push a bunch of stuff out of the way so it wouldn't be lumpy. But anyway, these are my car keys, and this is the key to the church. So this key will get you into the sanctuary and into the building, but it won't get you into any of the offices. It won't get you into the bookstore or any of those things. So if you were to try this on my office, it wouldn't work. And if you were to try it in the bookstore, it wouldn't work. But, you know, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, I've given unto you the keys of the kingdom. And there's a key to everything in your life. There's a key to your breakthrough. How many of you would like to have a breakthrough today? Yeah. You believe in God for a breakthrough. Well, there is a key for you. And so sometimes we get frustrated because we keep trying to use the wrong key. Well, somebody else used it. Well, the key to my office won't work on Paul Wilson's office. You've got to have the key that will work to open up the door that you need access to. So this is what we're going to talk about today a little bit. We're going to talk about some keys to your breakthrough. But before we get into that, I was reminded as I pulled in here of Psalm 1, where he said, blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of God, the law of the Lord. And really, the law of the Lord is found in Romans 3:27. It's called the law of faith. Faith works. Operated by the law of love, faith works by love. So, but then it goes on and it says, and you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and then you'll bring forth your fruit in its season. So one of the keys to your breakthrough is to get planted. You know, you might say, well, I've been here for years, but are you planted here? Do you realize, like when I pull on the grounds here, the first thing I recognize is that God is here and God's hand is here, because I watched it grow. I watched it develop, not like you have, but I only come in once in a while and I say, wow, look at what the Lord has done. So, you know, you need to make a decision, you know, and again, you may be sitting here, but sitting here is not planted here. When you're planted here, you take ownership. When you're planted here, you're saying, I'm not here just to be a consumer. I'm here to be a producer. I want to be a part of the team. I want to begin to advance the kingdom here. I want to be the one that's up early praying before the service. I don't want to just come in and get what other people have prayed for. Is it okay to say that? Okay. You know, so you need to make that decision. Say, you know what? I'm planted. I'm not a charismatic Christian floating all over the place. And I'm rooting myself in the move of the Spirit of God. I'm going to root myself here, and I'm going to press in and persevere. And I'm not expecting the pastor to do everything. And I'm not saying that you do. So don't take this as a condemnation or a finger pointing thing. I don't know. The pastor hasn't. He just tells me that you're just all the sweetest people he ever met. They just said that upstairs. You think I'm kidding? They said, no, our people are sweet. So, you know, turn to somebody and say, you're sweet. But Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus says this. He said, I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, upon this revelation knowledge that Jesus is Lord, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys. See, you know, once he gives you the revelation that Jesus is Lord, with a revelation you can go. See, here's the deal. You can't go where you can't see. But when you can get a revelation from God, you can go anywhere. God has got a destiny for you, a destination for you. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. You weren't put here by accident. You were brought here on purpose. You were brought into this building today on purpose by the divine plan of God. And he has a plan for your life. And you might think, well, then why are things going wrong? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit too. Things, when you're serving God, things do go wrong. But when they go wrong, you need to remember Romans 8:28, that all things will work together for your good when you're called according to the Lord. So even though things don't seem to be working on your behalf, trust me, they are. Like, you know, God is working behind the scenes. We're looking at the nations today and people are perplexed and confused about what's going on in the earth. And all we're seeing is Bible prophecy being fulfilled. We don't maybe understand all of it, but we know that God is behind it all. And we're not here to take sides, people. We're here to take over. Yeah. You know, we're going to rule and reign with him forever. Yeah. You know, and just thinking about that will make you bold in the Holy Ghost. Pastor Bill and I were talking about this last night. You know, in 1917, the communists took over in Russia and took captive all the Jews. But you know what? But now God was working in this thing, because how am I going to tell you all this and still get back to my message? 1917, they take over. In 1987, a man named Gorbachev was risen up. His mother had been praying for him for years, and they set the Jews free. And they came back from the north, back to Israel. And the Bible says that there'll be an exodus out of the northland that'll be greater than the one out of Egypt. And in fact, it was. But most of the world didn't see it. But we understand, and the scripture observed it. So then you're looking at that and you're saying, how did God pull that off that it would actually be 70 years? Captivity for 70 years. Think about it. To fulfill Bible prophecy, right? But then you look and you look at Gorbachev and his mother praying for him. Well, back in 1970, there was a guy named Ronald Reagan who was the governor of California at the time. And Pat Boone and a couple of pastors were in meeting with him. And they prophesied over him before they left that he would someday be the president of the United States. Right? Well, in 1979, there was a very popular president named Jimmy Carter. And it really looked like he was going to get reelected in 1980. But, you know, there was in Iran, there was a hostage incident. And so here's Carter, and he's thinking, this is my key to getting reelected for sure. I'll send in some helicopters and rescue the captives and pull this whole deal together and get myself reelected. Well, the helicopters got sand in their engines, and they crashed, and the whole thing made him look like a fool. And he didn't get elected. Ronald Reagan did. Why would Ronald Reagan get elected? Because he was the one that God raised up to work together with Miguel Gorbachev to bring the wall down. See, so you can look at things. You can look at the Holocaust and say, it was so horrendous. Yes, it was. It was the Valley of the Dry Bones we're talking about in Ezekiel chapter 37. But when you realize what happened right after the war was over in 1948, the land of Palestine was given back to the Jews. You know, even the Six-Day War in 1967, what happened in 6 days before that? The walls of Jericho. You see, what you need to see in all that is like, you know what? In the global situation, God is working behind the scenes, and somewhat it seems like a disaster, but God is still working his plan through. It's the same in your individual life. It may not look good in the middle of it, but hey, all things are working together for your good. Because you're called according to the purpose, the plan of God. Ephesians chapter 6. And when he said, when he told the founding fathers here, back in the day of the Charlottetown Accord, when he told them, you know, he shall have dominion from sea to sea, you can put that in the bank. Amen. That is going, that you can put that in the bank. He will have dominion over Canada. You know, the Toronto Dominion Bank right now is the strongest bank in North America. Who'd have ever thought we'd see that day? But we're in it. Who'd have thought we'd have 40% of our MPs being born again? I mean, come on. We're living in, you know, like, you know, maybe everything isn't right, but there's a whole lot of things that are right, that are going on, and it's good right now. All we need now is for the church to wake up and take its place, and like the boldness that Pastor was talking about, just to get bold about it instead of hiding out. You know, I just found out we're looking to buy a new building in the Metroplex area, and I found out that there is a gymnasium next door to the place that we're trying to buy. There's about 100 Christians meet in there every Sunday. I didn't even know about it. I'm thinking, man, we're hidden in pockets all over the place. If we ever came out in the open and said, here we are, it would scare people. Imagine if we could all just come out and say, let's have a worship service somewhere in the middle of a city somewhere and just rock the world. Come on. You know, I'm telling you, it's time to come out. Come on, the Proverbs 28:1 says the righteous are bold as lions. It's time for boldness. But you know, you do need to pray for it. Like Pastor said, Paul the Apostle prayed for it. He said, pray for me that I'll have boldness. Acts chapter 4, the disciples prayed and said, Lord, with all boldness, grant unto us that signs and wonders be done by the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. Boldness can be prayed for and can be received. And I'm all over the map, and I don't know if we're ever going to get this message out. And help me, Jesus. What is it when you get with a group that you haven't been around for a while and you just want to tell them everything you know, right? Take that. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Well, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says this. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong, not in your own strength, but in the Lord and in the power of his might. He wants you to be strong because, you know, he's giving you the keys that you can be blessed, so that you can succeed, so that you can prosper. You know, Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. We could say, my people struggle financially for a lack of knowledge. We could say, my people deal with sickness all the time because of a lack of knowledge. What we really need, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principle, the main thing, and you need to get it. And with all you're getting, get understanding. You got to know this book. This book has got to become you. When you become one with God's word, you literally become one with God. That's how it's done. So he's saying here, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why? Because this is not a WWF SmackDown. This is a life and death struggle. I mentioned to you that we've got two people in our church fighting for their lives, but here, we all will. Yeah. If you're not now, you will at some point. Is that not right? So it's good now to get yourself strengthened up so that when these things come, they don't move you. You move them out of your life. Amen? So he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 12 says this. Well, how about verse 11? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. No, we're wrestling against a very organized and a concentrated. We've got an enemy that's well organized against us. Sometimes we forget about that. But he has plans and strategies. You'll notice ministers that topple and fall. And what you find out later is the plan was put in place years earlier. And finally, the trap was set and they walked into it. So he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in the high places. And this word against is the word pros. It's not anti, where you'd get antihistamine or something that's against. Pros is like face to face. So he's saying you're in a toe-to-toe struggle with an adversary. Yes, he was defeated at the cross, but he's still at large. And he's going to come against you in the sense realm and try to knock you off course. Okay? But you need to know that. And if you know that, you also need to know 1 John 4:4, that greater is he that is in you than he that's in your circumstances. That there is a greater one. That the just shall live by faith. That we walk by faith and not by sight. We're not moved by the circumstances, what we feel, what we see. We're moved by the Word of God. The Word of God is our final authority. It's forever settled in heaven, and we settle it in our hearts. It doesn't matter what it looks like. God is for me. It doesn't matter what it feels like right now. God is for me. I know that my God will never leave me. He will never fail me. He will never forsake me. God has said, I will never leave you, nor fail you, nor forsake you, that I can boldly say, God is on my side. God is with me. He said, you can boldly say that when you know that he's there. You know, one of the greatest little nuggets on faith is found in Habakkuk chapter 3. He said, though the fig tree shall not blossom, you know, shall that there be no fruit on the vine, that the fruit of the olive will fail. He goes on and he lists all of the bad things that probably Job went through. And then he says, but yet I'm going to rejoice in the Lord my God. He made my feet like hinds feet, and he'll set me upon the high places. He said, it doesn't matter what it looks like right now, my God never fails. So even though we're in this fight, and even though these enemies are concentrated against us, we're strong in the Lord. And then he'll go on and he'll tell you what to do. He'll say, put on the loin belt of truth. Well, what is that? That's God's word hidden in my heart that I'll not sin against him. And the loin belt protects my vital organs. Well, it protects my reproductive organs, doesn't it? That's what a loin belt will do. And that loin belt is there so that I can reproduce, so that I can bear fruit. So I protect that, and it's the logos of God. It's the truth of the Word of God is what protects me. Then he says, take on a breastplate of righteousness. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, even though he knew no sin. that I'd be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus, who never did anything wrong, and Gary, the drug addict that never did anything right, had a covenant exchange. And I became the righteousness of God, and he took my sin on the cross. Wow. So that will protect my heart when I remember that. You know, he said when you, Romans 5:17, he said, when you'll receive the gift of righteousness, when you receive it, it's already been given to you. But when you receive the gift, when you take that gift, you'll begin to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. He said, I want you to reign in life, but you got to understand that you're right with me. Romans 5:1 says that you are justified by faith and made right with God. Think about it. You're right. Well, even when you're wrong, you're right with God. See, but when you know that, that'll make you powerful. Then I'm not just this old sinner trying to get something from the Lord. Hey, you know what? I don't get it right. How many of you get it right for a whole day sometimes? If you just stay in bed all day and don't think. But yet you can say, you know what? I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and I practiced sin until I perfected it, and now I'm practicing my righteousness. I understand that there's a gift of righteousness, and then in Psalm 23 and verse 3, he said, I'll lead you in a path of righteousness. So there's the righteous gift that I have, and then there's the walk that I'm walking out. But that when I know that, I'm protected. It keeps my heart. It's like Romans 5:8 when it says that I have been justified by his blood, not by my good looks. Right, Robert? Because you told me before I didn't look good at all. As a matter of fact, he said, you know, I could probably straighten that nose out for you if you'd like. Through his blood, he said even the forgiveness of sin. Come on. He said, while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. The worst day as a sinner, he loved you that enough to die for you. Then the next verse, verse 9 of Romans 5 says, now much more that you've been justified by his blood. He loved you then, and now it's much more. Come on, much more. When God says much more, that's a big deal. Much more. He said, I love you. He said, matter of fact, Zephaniah says he rejoices over you with singing. You know, just like you get a little baby in the crib and the baby rolls over for the first time and you're trying to get everybody in the room, come and see what this kid just did. Roll over all by himself. Glory to God. No, but this is the way God is with you. When you do something that, you know, you say, oh, that's my child. See, if you get that picture in your heart, that'll keep that breastplate of righteousness in place. Hey, I'm right with God. He loves me. He's not mad at me. Then he said, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of anxiety. Have your feet shod with the gospel of worry. That's what does it say then? Peace. He said, I got to remember to be at peace. You know, Romans 14:17. Paul the Apostle said, God's kingdom is not a physical thing. It's not meat or drink, but I'm right with God. And it produces peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And Peter went on to say, you know what? It's not just joy. He said, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. So when I'm at peace and when I have joy is when I remember that I'm right with God. If I'm in anxiety about something that I did wrong or some way that I missed it or some way that I messed up, or what if, what about, well, I wonder what the kids are doing now. Don't go there. That's what Job did, and it cost him a whole lot of trouble. No, you cast all of your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make your request be made known unto God, and then let the peace of God rule in your heart. Why do you let the peace of God rule? Because you know he heard you. And you know that he said, when I hear you, I answer. He said, I got it covered for you. He said, now whatsoever things are true and pure and just and lovely and virtuous and praiseworthy and of a good report, he said, I just want you to think on good things. I don't want you to be worrying about the news, the economy in the United States and how it's going to affect me. Well, I better, you know, like, you know, again, I like what Pastor Bill said, because Nancy and I were just talking about that everybody should have a reserve put away.